The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And we welcome Miss Akena Kublau to Freedom 106.5 FM. She is an entrepreneur, a mother of two girls, and the CEO of Akena Kublau Global Group LLC, and is an inspiring figure known for her resilience, grace, and commitment to empowerment. Hailing from the vibrant islands of Trinidad and Tobago, Akena's journey unfolds against the backdrop of her Caribbean roots. So welcome, Miss Akena. How are you? I think your mic is... Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. It's a rainy morning here, but I'm good.
And which part of the country are you today?
I'm in Piarco. Is it raining in Port of Spain?
Well, the last I saw good sunshine. So I'm hoping that Port of Spain is still dry because you know what happens when it rains in Port of Spain.
Yes, thunder and lightning up here.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, I mean, setting aside the weather, how is your company coming along, and what made you decide to start such a very close organization that is pretty close to your heart, as I know that you are as well? I don't want to use the word victim, but let's say afflicted with vitiligo.
Yes. Well, to be honest, it was something that didn't really happen. It wasn't really my plan for it to happen the way that it happened. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we say, as cliche as it sounds, sometimes when we plan, God laughs. Mm-hmm. And I had a completely different vision for my career and my life. But I guess, as I said, God had a different plan. Mm-hmm. So some years ago, I would have gone through an injury. I suffered an injury on the job where I was working before. And it was really after that that I started to see vitiligo coming about. Now, whether or not the two incidents were correlated, mm-hmm. I can't say, because I was also going through a lot of other traumatic things in my life too. I'm also a domestic violence survivor, which is something that I always advocate about. But even back then, I had no clue that vitiligo was an autoimmune condition that's actually triggered by stress, like many other autoimmune conditions. So it was really something that happened. Getting vitiligo really put me on a journey of self-discovery, self-mastery, wanting to be a better version of myself, not, you know, realizing that a lot of the things that we take for granted and push to the bottom is really the things that we kind of should be paying more attention to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So starting these events that I do every year, starting a personal development coaching business and things like that really came from my own personal experience and realizing that when I was going through some of the most difficult times of my life, I didn't really have a space to go. I didn't really have people that understood. And mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to create a space for women particularly, but not limited to women.
Right.
To be able to find community, not just for people who have vitiligo, but just community in general for difficult things.
Well, I want to backtrack a little bit because you surprised me by saying that it was brought on by stress. I always thought it was like a childhood disease, something that you're born with, you know, genetically. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit more about the disease itself?
Yes. So I'm happy to be here this morning sharing because June is actually Vitiligo Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And they started celebrating it, I guess, or honoring the month of June because Michael Jackson's birthday is 25th of June,
right,
which is World Vitiligo Day.
Mm.
Now, if you remember when Michael Jackson started getting a fairer complexion, everybody thought he was bleaching, or whether or not he did a treatment to progress the vitiligo, which is something some people do.
Mm-hmm.
There was not much of a space for him to be able to come out and say, hey, this is what I have. I think he did one interview with Oprah and he actually said, you know, I just have this. I can't control it. People don't believe me.
Mm.
But when I got vitiligo, I went to the dermatologist because I started to see little white spots on my hand, almost like, you know, when oil splash up on your skin, you might see a little burn.
Yeah.
And after a while, it will fade away. But I noticed it wasn't fading away and the tips of my fingers was turning white. So people on air can't see, but you can see on camera. Look at my hands yes. now. But it didn't start like that. It was like a very, very tiny dot.
Mm-hmm.
And it just started to progress. Nobody in my family has it that I know of. So no grandparents, no great-grandparents. My parents, too, they were like, they don't know anybody in the family that has it. And it was really only when I started to do research, I joined a couple support groups online with people from all around the world. And really kind of started to understand more about the condition is when I found out that it was actually something that can be triggered by stress and severe trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that just happened to me. Some people have it where, you know, somebody in their family might have it, but it's not something that is hereditary or even something that you can really predict when it will come. There's no age group. There are children that get it just spontaneously. Mm-hmm. Adults that will get it spontaneously. It's just something that happens to your body.
Now, you would think, okay, it's probably someone's listening saying, I wonder if it's something that I eat. Is it the mm-hmm. climate? What do I do to avoid it? But as you're saying, it's something that just happens. And avoid stress, but that sounds like you'll have to wrap yourself in a padded room and not interact with the world at all, if it is that, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Now, and when I first got vitiligo, the statistics was 1% globally. If you look it up now, it's actually 2% globally, so it's rising.
It's rising.
And I think it has a lot to do with the stress level rising.
Mm-hmm. And I would think we always go back to that epic event called COVID, you know, that has stressed the entire world out. So I think that a few numbers would be, I could see why that percentage has increased, you know, because that was yes. extremely stressful, you know, and a lot of conditions came out of that period of time as well. But on the brighter mm-hmm. side of it, I see that there are yeah. a lot of advocates coming out who have brought out the idea of internal beauty coming out and, you know, mm-hmm. accepting who they are. Winnie Harlow is one person
yes.
that comes to mind. She has mm-hmm. well, this fantastic modeling career and breaking barriers, yeah. you know, and standards. And
indeed.
How does that message help with understanding the condition and your positioning with your company as well?
Yeah. Well, before even I try to impact business-wise or in anything that I do, I have two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So that first modeling starts at home for me. I always have to be mindful of the way that I speak about myself. And I think that has helped me a lot in the beginning of my journey because I talked to a lot of people who have vitiligo, male and female, and they would always say, you know, Akina, you are so encouraging. You know, you give me such, you know, you just inspire me. I wish I could have that confidence one day because it is tough getting this condition. It kind of shifts your reality of yourself
mm-hmm.
because it's something that you cannot control. So you might wake up one day with one spot on your eye and then you wake up the next day and it gets bigger. You know, people make comments. Not everybody is gracious. And you have to really, it's a lot of internal work. So I have had to kind of do a lot of self-talk and just remember that, okay, before I try to impact anybody else, I have two girls that are looking at me. They're listening to the way that I speak about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't fake authenticity. So they would know if I'm saying, okay, I love the way that I look, I feel good about myself, but I'm lying. It will
come out. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it hasn't been easy. I didn't get it overnight. It took a lot of work, a lot of therapy, but a lot of community too.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to people who have vitiligo. There is in Trinidad and Tobago. I didn't even know that there was a vitiligo association. And you could look it up online, and I got involved with them too. And It's helped tremendously.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, support groups really make the difference in, you know, keeping your mental health in check and understanding that there is a community that understands, you know, the shift or the, as you said, the change of self, the opinion of self when you see something like this happening. In terms yeah. of like advancements or treatments, have you heard of any things like that? Because I remember reading somewhere saying that there was this new drug that was coming out, but there wasn't a lot of support for it within the vitiligo community. What is your stance on it, and what is the update on that?
Well, there are a lot of clinical studies that are happening, and the unfortunate thing is that a lot of it is not accessible to us here in the Caribbean. So while we have a lot of, I guess, you know, creams and stuff that you can try in the very earlys. When I first got diagnosed, they prescribed some for me, but it's more like anti-steroidal creams. Didn't work for me. There are like UV lights that you could try with the lights and stuff. Recently, there was one cream that came out called Opsulera. It's working really well, but the cost is pretty high. It's like $2,500 US for a tube.
Wow.
So yeah, if you're in the States, you have insurance, you know, you could probably get it with a small copay. But for us here in Trinidad, I don't even think that it's here yet. And even if it does get here, it might, you know, not the average Joe wouldn't be able to afford it.
You think you would see it on the CDAP list?
Right. It was out a lot, especially to kids recently. I was chatting with his dad and he told me that his daughter is 8 and she has it and she gets teased so much at school.
Yeah.
You know, so there is a lot of room for improvement, because I think in, you know, just the mindset of things, people tend to view it as cosmetic. But just this year, it was actually defined as an autoimmune condition. So it really, really is something that needs a lot of looking into, especially locally here in Trinidad, because we, people within the vitiligo community, don't really have means for treatment.
Now, you would find it very strange, being that we are so much closer to the equator and we love the sun and we're always on the beach and all this kind of thing, for a situation like this or autoimmune disease to occur like that in the Caribbean. What are some of the advocacy situations you would like to see put in place, or discussions that are obviously necessary so that that community can be stronger bonded?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing would have to be acknowledging that there are people in Trinidad and Tobago that have vitiligo that would like to get access to treatment. Most times when I speak to people who, you know, they would say, well, hey, I went to the skin clinic at the hospital, and they just, you know, tend to kind of dismiss it. I was like, oh, you know, yes, it's vitiligo. And that's what I experienced too. And while, yes, it might be something cosmetic, you know, it's not painful unless you're in the sun, which then it becomes very, very painful. It is something that has immense psychological effects. So if you would look up statistics, it tells you that people who have vitiligo tend to become very depressed, especially in the early years of getting the condition. You know, they have problems forming relationships. Romantic relationships tend to be a challenge. Even workplace situations, they've experienced some workplace discrimination and things like that. So mental health resources for people who have vitiligo, access to treatments, and I guess the powers that be seeing the need to get like some of those things that I mentioned, the creams that are not yet accessible here, looking into, okay, how can we get these things here in Trinidad for the people that need it, especially the kids that, you know, they might be younger and they could still stop this thing or try to get it a little better before. Now, some people might say, hey, my vitiligo doesn't bother me like me. You know, I have come to a place of acceptance. But there is also another half of the community that has not. And that's okay too.
And then the stereotypes and the obviously prejudices that come with it, they have to, you know, you gotta compete with that. Gonna take a short break, and when we come back, we've got more with Miss Kublal. And if you have any questions, send them to 306-1065, especially those with vitiligo. Can you pronounce the word for me? Because I hear so
vitiligo.
Because I hear so many different pronunciations, you know. But thanks for that. So we're gonna take a short break, and when we come back, we have more inside the human impact.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Well, I almost said in studio, but virtually in studio, I have Ms. Akena Kublal here to talk to us about vitiligo. Yeah, which is an autoimmune disease, which I found out today, strange enough, is not genetically brought on. I always thought it was something that was passed on from, you know, generation to generation, but it's an autoimmune disease, which can be caused by various things, one being stress. So if it is you have a stressful life, I guess you had to remove that stress, and that way you can avoid vitiligo. Now, are there other ways that you can avoid the autoimmune disease?
Not that I know of. I don't think there is any studies yet about guarding yourself from it or preventing yourself from it. But I do know of one particular story. I'm a gentleman I met personally, actually, when I attended the World Vitiligo Conference. He was one of the speakers. Mm-hmm. And he managed to reverse his vitiligo by a complete vegan diet. So just eating like raw, you know, vegetables and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he does like a one-off story. So I'm guessing that, you know, with your body, there are so many things. I know Tabitha Brown, she shared about how going vegan helped her a lot. So there are, I guess, there's a trial and error thing, but nothing set in stone. You know, the doctors will never say that you can do that. No offense to the doctors, but...
yeah, but we know the system where that works, yeah. You said Tabitha Brown, she is a vitiligo sufferer as well?
No. But she shares her story of how she reversed some health conditions.
Right.
By being vegan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, us vegetarians know that this is the better health style. I mean, lifestyle. But, I mean, you understand that there are a lot of people that do appreciate their meat. So it's really a choice for them to mm-hmm. to see the benefits in having such a diet. Now, apart from stress being a trigger, are there other triggers that, you know, we should be aware of?
Well, I know there are some people that, as I said a little while ago, that have it in their family. So mm-hmm. maybe it's genetic for some, but for me, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. I have heard of people, there is this one couple that, it's a crazy story. The wife had vitiligo,
mm-hmm.
they met, and then later down, the husband got it as well. He didn't have it when they met.
Wow, okay.
So,
you know, there's some...
So now they both have it.
I mean, not to make... I guess it's to make light, but there's some, you know, sometimes when you say you have a dog, you begin to look like the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Probably mm-hmm. in experiencing his wife's trauma, I guess he kind of subconsciously thought, okay, let me share with it, and then ta-da!
Share with the pain. I don't know, because she said that the doctors said that it's just a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Strange, the way the world works. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of education, I know that you have already said that you would expect or would hope that many in Trinidad and Tobago would take up on educating those, educating us, those who don't know about the disease. Are there any forums that you can currently talk to us about that may offer that help to those who are like wondering, okay, where do I go after discovering or getting that diagnosis?
Yeah, well, not currently. Last year, the Trinidad and Tobago Vitiligo Association and myself, we tried to have a meeting and about five people showed up.
Mm.
But that was still progress because it was five people that had vitiligo. But what the president of that organization, well, he's not the president anymore because they're kind of just, you know, just waiting around to see what happens. But he shared with me that back in the 80s and the 90s, it was very, very more like, you know, they had more people coming in and stuff. But a lot of the people, they left Trinidad to go seek treatment. A lot of people kind of just gave up. Some people went to Cuba to seek treatment and things like that. So locally, right now, we have a Facebook support group. You could look it up, Vitiligo Support Trinidad and Tobago. If you have vitiligo, if you're a parent of somebody who has vitiligo, if your spouse has it,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if you don't have it and you're just curious, Vitiligo Support Trinidad and Tobago. There is also a lot of other organizations in the Caribbean. I have a very good friend in St. Martin that has an organization, and every December she has an event. I attended last year,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to have it this year again. We're trying to set something up in Trinidad for next year. But on a global scale, for people that might be able to travel or could afford to do so, to attend once at least. I think if you have vitiligo, it's good to go at least once to the Global Vitiligo Conference. There are hundreds of people that show up there. Mm-hmm. Adults, children. The last one that I attended, Mattel sponsored Barbies for all the children because there is a vitiligo Barbie.
Right.
And if you've seen it, they sponsor the Barbies for all the kids. And it's amazing to just be in the room with people who have this thing like you mm-hmm. that understand how it feels, that are able to share the experiences. But for those right here in Trinidad, we can start off on Facebook, join the support group. We can have the conversations. You might make a friend, somebody who just, you know, that you could just call and say, hey, this thing rel affected me today. And they would be able to say, hey, I get it. Rather than the average friend or family member who might say, girl, what you studying that for? Mm-hmm. At least this not happening, you know, or at least that.
Count your blessings.
Actually get it and they give you a space.
Yeah.
Yes, people that will give you a safe space to be able to vent and share. Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of the kids, I know that it's very difficult for them because, as you said, you know, there aren't too many kind people, especially when it comes to kids, because I guess it's the age or power structure, if you want to look at it that way. And there are not many resources for kids to really turn to. So that's why I was very surprised that Barbie has done something like that. You know, Do you wish for a call for people to start groups so that children can have a better chance of understanding the autoimmune disease and have that support?
Yeah, I do little visits here and there to schools if I'm invited. In fact, this Friday I have because apart from just vitiligo conversations, I also managed to segue into doing workshops in the area of etiquette and self-confidence for young girls.
Okay,
so I tie in my experience with having vitiligo into having conversations with young girls about confidence and the fact that that comes from the inside and that kind of thing. So like this Friday, I have a chat at a school. Sometimes I'm invited to stop, but I do think there is a need, and I hope that somebody listening today might say, hey, you know, we've never thought about this thing. This is true. You know, sometimes out of sight, out of mind. If you never hear about something, like maybe there is not a need for it, but it's only when you realize, when you start to do it, you realize how many people might actually benefit. Mm-hmm. So I hope that in future, people could start getting access to spaces where they could have those conversations. Because when you understand something, then that's only when compassion could really start to come.
Yeah. June the 25th, you said, is World Vitiligo Day. Do you have any plans for that particular day that you would like to share with the public now? Put out there in the universe and say, listen, we could come together on this particular day at this location and
absolutely
and give some sort
I
of celebration.
I've wanted to do something for a long while. Last year, I tried to put something at the Botanical Gardens together and it had so much rain and we ended up postponing. Mm-hmm. But I would love if somebody listening this year have a space and they say, hey, y'all could come. Mm-hmm. The color for vitiligo awareness is purple. So even if maybe we can do something, if you have vitiligo, wear purple on that day, make a post, share something, make a video, and, you know, you might be surprised. There might be somebody who has vitiligo, just has a little dot on their hand or something, and has, because there are people that don't know what it is still. You would be surprised. There are people who, you know, they're walking around with this, and you know, in Trinidad, everything is some of the diagnosis. You have this, and you're like, oh, my mother tell me it's lota.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess that would just be like the Trini name for it, but or somebody come with a sound system since it's Michael Jackson's birthday as well, and you know, play some Michael
and
really
Jackson,
make it
right?
Make it, you know, a big event and try to do something yearly, because as you said, you know, knowledge is power and empowerment. So to give a different look on the particular disease, you know, it gives us, as you say, a level of confidence to deal with the day to day thing. So, Ms. Kublal, Akena, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Are there like any last comments you'd like to leave with us here at Freedom 106.5 FM?
Not comments per se, but thank you so much for just being willing to have the conversation. And I hope that somebody listening today learned something new, or that just started a conversation about this thing in the right way. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys so much, and to the Freedom team, to the Guardian Media team, for having me.
All right, we enjoyed having you as well.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.